Welcome to the Team Flower Podcast. My name is Kelly, and we are gathering today to inspire you in your work with flowers.
Hi, everyone. It is Janine. I am here to share another flower discovery with you. Have you guys caught on to the dried flower trend? I mean, whoa, it's no surprise if you've been in the floral industry that dried materials are for sure trending, and rightly so. I mean, they're longer lasting, they're a bit of a novelty still, they add so much texture, and they can add movement and interest, and really there are so many possibilities to discover in designing. Not only are dried flowers being used in full service weddings, but for wreaths, wearables, even editorials. And recently I started dabbling in just letting my creativity flow. And I went to Hobby Lobby and just bought like an armload of dried flowers and a few glass containers. And it has been so much fun just to, practice my, or really stretch my creative muscles, you know? And I mean, that's all, I'll save that all for another time. This time, I'm not even really here to tell you how you can use dried flowers, because if that's what you need, we have some awesome resources at teamflower.org/free that you can check out that have been written by many of our Team Flower members. Today, I'm here because a Team Flower member recently asked on community about the process of drying flowers. And if you are unfamiliar with community and you're like, oh, what is community? The Team Flower community is just what it sounds like. It is the family of Team Flower members that all come together, and it is a place where you can ask questions, you can answer questions, you can share your designs and get feedback. There are thousands of Team Flower members, and so it is highly, highly likely that at least one person will know the answer to your question and chime in. So if you're not one of the Team Flower members and you would like to check out community, you can simply go to teamflower.org/community, or you can just go to our website, teamflower.org, and click on that red chat button in the corner and just ask about it. We'd be happy, happy, happy to have you. Anyway, as I was saying before I interrupted myself, I am here because I wanted to share about the process of drying flowers. So Sarah Eversole, who is one of our Team Flower members and a flower farmer in Texas, she gave a few tips for when you are drying flowers yourself, and I found them incredibly helpful. The first is to hang them, especially grasses and things like that. Hang your flowers to dry. You want to be sure you keep them out of direct sunlight, or it will bleach them. And don't bunch them too heavily. So I saw that it was recommended about 10 stems, maybe less, maybe a little more, just depending on how big the flowers and stems are. Mainly, you just don't want them to collect mold. So if you bunch them too heavily, or if you keep them in a moist and cool room, that could lead to mold in as little as a day. So be sure you don't store them in your floral cooler either, if you have one. You also want to make sure that the place where you're drying flowers is dry, hot, and a little on the dark side is best, so that you don't have that bleaching effect. Sometimes you'll have flowers or greens that you want to dry that it actually isn't best to hang them. So for example, like palms or ferns, you might just want to lay them flat. You can even dry them with silicone or glycerin beads. So yeah, so those are some of the tips that Sarah had to share. Sarah, thank you so much for being such a staple in the Team Flower community. We're so grateful for you. And if you, listener, if you dry flowers regularly and you have more tips to share, please, please, please write in to us. Visit teamflower.org and again, click that red chat button. There are so many people who could learn from you. Next up is, oh, what a special guest that we have today. I'm so excited for you guys to listen to what she has to share and the wisdom that she has. So without further ado, here is our special guest.
I have a feeling there's quite a lot of people who listen to this podcast. They're not florists, but they're thinking about it. Is that you? Are you dreaming of life with flowers, but you just haven't taken that leap yet? Well, I wanted to make sure that you know about the How to Become a Florist class from Team Flower. It is designed to help people get on the path to a meaningful, passion-filled career in flowers that makes a difference in the world. You can use your passion for good, self-sustainable products and make people smile because life is just, it's too short to have a career that you aren't passionate about. Now, I'm not offering like, you know, a worry-free life. I'm not offering a life with no stress or a life that, you know, just involves birds like singing outside all the time. But I am offering you a passion-filled career, and passion is the thing that propels you through any and every obstacle that might come your way. So if a career in flowers is something that you've been thinking about, I hope you'll consider joining How to Become a Florist. We're starting class again tomorrow. You can hop in and join. You haven't missed a beat. Just go to howtobecomeaflorist.com to register, and I'll see you in class tomorrow. Again, that's howtobecomeaflorist.com. Today, our special guest is Bree Copeland. She has Black and Blossomed, and it's based in Denver, Colorado. It's a local pop-up flower shop. She offers a range of seasonal bouquets that are either pre-arranged, or if you're feeling like you want to be creative, she has the option for people to be able to create their bouquets on site, which is so fun. And apart from creating and selling flower arrangements, Black and Blossomed is also meant to be a community for all people to become an active participant in the beauty of the world around us, and most importantly, the beauty within ourselves. We're all partaking in this process of growing, becoming, and blossoming with hope, and the hope is to facilitate a process for each person who buys flowers or visits their site. So that's a little bit about what they're doing. And today we are celebrating that Bree has just purchased a really cool enclosed trailer that they're renovating into a mobile flower truck. And they're expanding their business to hire some more people, offer some more services. And yes, that's a little bit about what's going on with them. You can follow along. And if you have your phone nearby, hop on to Black and Blossomed on Instagram or black/and/blossom.com to get a visual for what it is that we're chatting about here today. So anyway, that's not the whole scoop because we're going to learn more about the rest of the scoop, but Bree, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. That was a good spiel.
Cool. Okay. So tell us a little bit about, your business. Tell us about what it's like to have a flower pop-up for somebody who might be, maybe somebody on the podcast today is thinking about doing that, or maybe they have one, and like, let's just get your perspective on it.
Yeah. So Black and Blossom is kind of a new baby. It was born in 2020, so pandemic baby. And so I think that's a really important context to see the business through, which probably speaks to the pop-up model, because as we all know, that was a big kind of push and transition for a lot of small businesses going outside of their brick and mortars and actually just being in a safer environment. And so I think starting Black and Blossom, it was an easy transition for me to just go into those markets and do pop-ups and be outside instead of being indoors where people were a little bit more unsafe in the age of COVID. And so it really started really organically, I think, of being a pop-up shop model. So when I launched my business, I've been doing everything out of my apartment. So that's been fun. Sometimes me and my husband will laugh a lot because I'm like, sorry, baby, our apartment looks like a jungle right now, but it will be fine. Just flowers everywhere. And when I launched the business, I had a really cool event called Bulls and Blossoms. And it was at this really cool spot called Cabana X, and it was outside. And there was a new coffee shop opening next door, and she came over. She's like, what do you have going on? And I had all the flowers, and I had people like doing a DIY kind of flower arranging thing, and there were cocktails, and it was just a super fun event. And she was like, why don't you just start coming over and like popping up at the coffee shop when we get started? And so her name is Kara. They open Lekka Coffee in Rhino in Denver. And since then, like, she put the name Pop Up in my mind. Like, I was just doing a launch event for the business. And so when she said that, I was like, Pop Up, interesting. So that was like the birth of the pop-up shop model. And like from that day forth, so many businesses reached out saying, hey, can you come and pop up at my business? Like, we have this going on, this event, we would love to have flowers there. And so now it's like, that's just kind of been our spiel, our thing now, of just collaborating with local businesses. Every person has a different model. Like, sometimes we'll pay vendor fees up front and then they won't take a percentage of what you sell. Some businesses, like with Lekka Coffee, like if you buy a bouquet, you'll get a free coffee. And so we pay them. And so it was a really great moment, I think, for us as a starting business, but also to collaborate and help financially other businesses to kind of get a little bit more traction and a little bit more like money coming in the door for them.
Cool. So if we kind of press into it, in a way, with the model that you've taken with popping up with other business owners, you kind of have like a dual audience, I guess, or, you know, two different types of people that you're working with, because you're kind of thinking through the priorities, how you can add value to the businesses that you are in collaboration, like how you can partner with each other to push each other's businesses forward. And then also the clients that each of you have and where there's overlap there. Do you want to talk a little bit more about just how that has come along for you, or there are things that, I don't know, that you might say to somebody who's considering a similar business model?
Yeah. That's a really good point. I never thought about it as like having two different customer bases, but that's really true. Huh? Let me take that in for a second.
Yeah, sure.
But I think one of the biggest things that I've learned is like, obviously you're going to have places that are more, more involved than others.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense. Uh-huh.
And so like, we've had to start to be really intentional about the places that we pop up at, because I think we are running into a thing of Black and Blossom has a really big client base and a great support in the community. And so a lot of times, like if it's just us, like if we pop up at Lekka and we're just selling flowers, we see a lot more traction at those places versus like we've done a lot of markets where, you know, people are just coming and there are like 25 plus vendors. And we've done those things. And I think when people have to know that they want flowers, right? In a lot of ways, like sometimes it's like, all right, I'm at a market, I was coming for these cute earrings, there are flowers here, I love flowers, but I'm also going to brunch after this, so can I carry flowers around? Versus the people that are like, I know I want flowers, I know Black and Blossom will be at this location, and so that's where I'm going to be. And so I think that has turned into just like very intentional marketing with some of the businesses that we work with. So them actually collaborating with us and making sure that they put the pop-ups on their schedules, that people know that we're coming, versus like us kind of catching people off guard and hoping that we're going to get those sales off of just being in a random place.
Yes. Okay. That's a really good point, and something that I think is important to just put some distinction around. Communicating in advance where you'll be, when you'll be there, to your customers. What does that look like? I know you'd mentioned about the locations, you know, posting about that. How are you communicating, or how are you gathering a way to be able to keep in touch with your customer base?
Yeah. So every week I roll out just a schedule, and I post them all on our website, a link to our events. I think now that people know that we're primarily a pop-up shop, they kind of look and see where we're going to be in the city. So I'll just post them every week and, you know, continuous reminders. And then also the businesses that we end up popping up at and partnering with, they also included on their promotional materials. I know like LEFA, they roll out a monthly schedule that they just have posted up around the coffee shop so people can look and kind of plan accordingly.
Cool. So it sounds like the pop-up path in the floral industry was, I don't know, in some ways, maybe even a little bit of a surprise to you. What did you think you were going to do starting out, and how did that kind of grow and change? And just tell us a little bit more about your path. What did you do before flowers?
Yeah. Well, I was just telling Janine, so I'm getting my doctorate in clinical psychology right now. So I'm going to be graduating in August. And so that's what I was doing full time, just being a mental health therapist. And throughout the age of COVID, things just got really intense, like, you know, being home and people having increased accessibility to you at all times. So I really needed an outlet, and flowers had been kind of a new self-care thing for me that I was engaging in. So I would go buy flowers like at some of the markets every week and just like arrange them for the house. So initially it started off as a self-care thing, but once I started the business, so my husband bought me a floral certification class. So that's kind of how all this was like birthed. Uh-huh. And as I was learning and as I was like really kind of doing more research around it, I was like, I could do this, like just start a small little business, maybe make some money on the side, you know? And so when I started off though, like y'all probably hear this woven throughout the podcast, but I am a person that I do everything with my full heart and my full soul. And I tend to do everything. And so that's really what the model started off as. Like I was doing deliveries, I was doing subscriptions, I was doing events, like I was doing weddings, I was doing pop-ups, I was doing it all. And I learned very quickly, especially like having a full-time job and being a student, that wasn't sustainable. So I just started kind of chopping off some of the services that I offered. And really being intentional about how the business showed up and what the business was involved in. And so, you know, what I really loved is like, I love doing deliveries. Like there's something about just creating something, showing up at a person's doorstep and giving them flowers. Like I really do miss that experience, but also like I couldn't spend 3 hours in my car on the weekends. That just wasn't sustainable for me. And then I started stepping into like photographers will reach out to me about doing style shoots, which I really enjoyed. I created a lot of relationships with a lot of photographers and designers and things in Denver. So I found this more like creative outlet with flowers too, of just like using it to spark movement, spark conversations, like incorporating flowers and just different initiatives. So as I moved and I matched to Mississippi State with my residency and I found an apprentice to take over things in Denver, that's when like the pop-up shop just like solidified itself, because she's a teenager and she's in high school and she didn't have a car. And so the easiest thing, honestly, at that time was to say, all right, well, you're only going to do pop-up shops on the weekends. And while at that moment, it felt like a limitation to the business, I think now it has really manifested in such a strength and such a like, you know, unique model of floristry in general.
And I think it's so, I just think it's so cool. There are a million different ways to have a business with flowers, and there's a lot of different entry points. And I was thinking last week just about the different age ranges that you'll find in the floral industry, and how there are different business models that kind of correlate with different age ranges, different seasons in life, different types of responsibilities. And, you know, it's just cool that it's a career that can be flexible in that way. And I just love that you, I just love that you're working with someone that's in school and that it's a place where they can really develop just an idea of what it is that they want to do in life and relationships with customers and all those things. It's really, it's really cool. Thank you for doing that. That's awesome.
That's been honestly my favorite part. I was telling Janine, like, me and my apprentice Tamara have such a beautiful relationship, not only like a mentorship relationship, but also like I got to write her a college essay or a letter of recommendation for her colleges. And, I've seen her just like grow so much, not only as just like a lead floral designer, but also just in her confidence. Like when she first started off, she was like, are you sure you trust me to do this? Like, this feels like a really big deal. And she would like feel really uncomfortable even like engaging with some of the customers at pop-ups. And now she's like really just taking it on as something that she loves and something that she's made her own. And that's been such a beautiful journey to watch, even with her just seeing how much she's grown.
That's so cool. I love that. Do you want to talk, Bree, at all about kind of the overlap of what it is that you're studying and how flowers play into that? Or is there some overlap there, or just some curiosity that you have between the two different worlds kind of colliding and coming together?
Oh, absolutely. I love that you asked that. Well, just recently, so I haven't transitioned Black and Blossom to Mississippi at all. I am in a very, very small college town and I work in the mental health field and I can barely avoid seeing my clients at Kroger.
Sure.
So let alone like trying to balance the business. But, so I think, like I said, starting off flowers were self-care for me. And when I say self-care, like I am a creative person. I think we all are creatives in our own way. And so doing something where there's like a start and a finish, doing something that is not like, in psychology, we'll joke all the time that it always depends because humans are so dynamic and so complex. Flowers are not. Flowers are like beautiful and simple in their own light. And so just like being able to like take each stem and create something and see that progress as you continue to mold it was just something that was very therapeutic for me personally. And then, like I said, even those moments where you're delivering something, some flowers to a person, either like they just had a new baby or they're celebrating the anniversary or someone died. Like, I think they're flowers are a way to communicate care and love. And I think that's something that I embody not only as a therapist, but just as a human being. And so even now, like I've been so blessed to be surrounded in the community, like in the counseling center. I just did an outreach event on campus where we handed out flower stems and attached affirmations to them and handed them out to college students. And oh my gosh, the reactions on their faces, like, this is exactly what I needed today. I've been going through a really rough time. Like I needed to just feel that someone like saw me and cared about me. And so I think the overlap has just been like so overwhelming and so beautiful. And I think that's why flowers have turned into that thing for me, because there are so many similarities.
You know, you mentioned something about how humans are very dynamic and I feel like our lives and just all of us right now are to some extent. And I mean, regardless, COVID, not COVID, whatever, life is all about transitions. We're very rarely in one place or, one place for a very long period of time. And you just mentioned about how flowers are something that you can pick up, you can put it together and it can be done. It's not it's not a project that, has just a million steps to it. Right. It's something that it's something that you can complete in an hour and it's beautiful and it's done. And it has that little sense of just being accomplished. Is that something that as a mental health professional, would you consider that to be like something that if you're, if you're feeling like very overwhelmed or you're kind of in that fight or flight mode, is an activity like that something that helps you get back to a more like soothed, properly functioning nervous system? Is that kind of how that type of activity relates to our brains and how they're working?
Absolutely. I love that you know about this stuff. Yes, you are like speaking my language right now. Yes, it is such a grounding technique to engage in anything that requires your senses. So picking up a flower, looking at it, smelling it, putting it together, arranging it. Yes, it really does train your brain to recognize that you're not in danger. And so, especially with a lot of my clients, we do stuff like that in therapy to ground them, to realize like, when you've been traumatized or when you have anxiety, this is something that helps your nervous system ground itself and regulate and realize like when you're engaging in intentional actions and behaviors like arranging flowers, your brain isn't trying to fight off danger. You're not going to be in fight or flight mode. It's very calming and grounding.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. That totally makes sense to me. Thank you for putting a new tool in our toolbox. Here's a question for you. If you are doing your flowers and you're in the middle of the wedding, right? Okay. So you're like at the arbor and, you're putting all the flowers on there for the wedding and you are in the fight or flight mode. What should you do then?
Like as a florist?
Yeah. Ooh. Or is that just a normal part of the process? Or is there something that we should do that's not arranging flowers per se, but maybe we, like how would we in that moment kind of get to a place where we're like calming down again, even though there's a deadline and it's a little bit, you know, stressful. If you're kind of used to living in that zone every single weekend, and it feels really stressful. Is there a way kind of in that moment to sort of train ourselves to settle back down?
Yeah, I love that question. I really think it's about slowing down and being intentional. I think sometimes like you say, if you're doing it every weekend and it's become just like second nature to you and you have people like, hurry up, the ceremony is going to get started or whatever, dealing with our clients, whatever they bring. Sometimes we just go into autopilot and we just do things and we don't pay attention to where we're actually doing. Mm-hmm. And so I think in that moment, really slowing down and, you know, if you can count, if you can actually narrate what you're doing. So like, I'm going to pull this rose over to the right so that there's space. I'm going to move the foliage over so that it creates flow. Like if you're doing that kind of like slowing down piece, I think you'll notice that you'll calm down. And breathing is always the first course of action. Like take a deep breath, breathing in. Usually like when we're doing weddings, we're at these really beautiful places and venues and we're celebrating love, like take that in, look around you and just really ground yourself in the moment.
So good. So good. I think that's just a really needed part. And I'm glad that we talked about it today because it's a very real thing, especially in the weddings when everybody else around you, and especially being like highly sensitive, empathetic, a lot of florists are, people who notice beauty typically are sensitive to things that are beautiful and around, and in doing so can be easily affected by just how everybody else in the situation is. It's a lot to read and it's a lot for our brains to process through, you know, all at one time. So back to the idea of having, you know, several different types of business models and ways that you can have a life with flowers. I'm just thinking, you know, if there happens to be somebody who primarily does weddings and it's feeling mentally a little bit like too much. Just thinking back to some of these other ways and going through past podcast episodes and guests that have all these different types of business models, there might be a better fit to kind of have a more consistent or more calm experience.
Cool.
Oh man, what else? I feel like I have other questions, but I'm not quite sure what they are. Bree, you have such a cool perspective with the work that you're doing and the overlap that's there. And I guess I just wonder if there's anything that you could say to the floral community from your perspective, something that's on your heart that you feel like that you carry. What would that be today?
Oh.
Big question. But you know the answer probably right away, I bet.
I don't know.
That little gut response.
I love the trust that you have in me right now. Let's see. I think for me personally, so much of my groundedness in the business and Black and Blossom is, of course, in the name, but just like normalizing and uplifting Black florists.
Yeah.
I think just being immersed in the field, like I am just so struck every time that someone comes up to me and they're like, wait, you're a Black florist, like you're doing flowers. And they're just like so taken aback and so surprised. And for me, that's both an honor and it's both like sad, because I know we're still in a place in the industry where just Black people are not represented. And so, you know, I think that is something that I encourage a lot of business owners to start stepping into, of hiring people and giving people chances and taking chances on them, where maybe they don't have the best design experiences, but, you know, they might come from a marginalized community and they may just be looking for an outlet. Because I think for the Black community, creativity is not the first like thing that we think about when it comes to financial gain, making money, right? It's always kind of like these survival techniques of, well, let me do the thing that's going to bring me the most money. And sometimes the creative outlets are not at the top of the list. And so that's just been something really on my heart of, when I do the work that I do, I know that I'm representing a group of people, and hopefully opening doors for them that they may not have necessarily had.
Mm. Thank you for doing that. For all of it, just the meaning that you put behind the work that you do is so inspirational. And I just encourage everybody again to head over to Instagram, to Black and Blossomed, to check out what Bree is doing, and to follow along on her journey, as I'm sure there will be many more twists and turns and beautiful, yeah, beautiful moments. It's so cool. I just wish the very, very best to you and your husband as you're finishing up this residency in Mississippi. And do you have any plans of where you're going to head after you wrap that up?
We have a couple places in mind. We really love Houston. We really love Savannah, Georgia, Atlanta. All of our family's in the South, so we're trying to like stay closer to here, just because we might be starting a family soon and things like that. But I have this really big dream of having my own private practice, but also having a flower shop attached to it, for all the reasons that we just talked about today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be on the lookout. Maybe give me about 5-10 years, but
really cool, really fun. Oh, well, I'm looking forward to following along on that journey for sure.
I appreciate y'all for having me so much. This has been really, honestly, eye-opening for me, and kind of emotional to talk about the journey and just thinking about, like you said, how much meaning is behind the work that I do. Sometimes even the suggestion that I gave of slowing down and just thinking about all the things I don't give myself a chance to, and kind of on go mode all the time. So I appreciate this moment of reflection too.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. You can find us over at teamflower.org for more resources like this one. And while you're there, check out the Team Flower Conference. That's where we all gather to learn and grow together. It is magic. You are magic. The work that you do with flowers matters. And we are so grateful for you. Keep going. You're doing a good job.